Are you listening?
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call
OTR Rob.
Your bus 137569. Grab a pencil and a notepad and take this down.
Oh, you!
F, and what, pray tell, is wrong with you, F?
Oh, nothing.
Good. Now take this down. There are two radio blocks of detectives. Detective couples, which includes Nick Carter, The Adventures of Ellery Queen, Mr. and Mrs. North, and Let George Do It, all within the Jack Benny podcast network. And the other detective radio block is Popular Detectives, which includes Sam Spade, Michael Shane, Pat Nowak for Hire, and Jeff Regan, private investigator for The Lion's Eye. Enjoy all of these over on the Jack Benny podcast. I hope you got that down, Effie.
Oh, you!
Hey, everyone, this is OTR Rob welcoming you to the movie star detective part of the program, which includes Richard Diamond, private detective, Rocky Fortune, and The Saint, and The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, all heard on the Judy Garland and Friends podcast network. Let's talk about Blake Edwards here, who created Richard Diamond, private detective. He was born in 1922, and he began his career in the 1940s as an actor, but he soon began writing screenplays and radio scripts before turning to producing and directing in television and films. He is best known for films such as Breakfast at Tiffany's, The Days of Wine and Roses, 10, Victor Victoria, and the hugely successful Pink Panther series starring British actor Peter Sellers. Often thought of as primarily a director of comedies, he also directed several dramas, musical, and detective films. Late in his career, he transitioned to writing, producing, and directing in theater. In 2004, he received the Honorary Academy Award in recognition of his writing, directing, and producing, and an extraordinary body of work for the screen. And he was married to Julie Andrews, who you might know in films and also on Broadway. So enjoy this Richard Diamond, private detective, The Man Who Hated Women, from June 16, 1949, and I'll be back after this with Rocky Fortune.
As Richard Diamond, private detective.
Hello there. This is Diamond. Hey, what about this heat? I can think of a lot of times I've been uncomfortable, but this runs itself right up to the top of my list. But the only thing good I can say about it, get your laundry dry in a hurry. I usually wash a few things out in my office because the soap's free. Come to think of it, I was scrubbing a pile of things the day we had that big wind. 97 degrees in New York, and we get a tornado to cool us off. I had so much dust in my office, I could have supplied mud pies to the whole neighborhood. And after it was all over, the cigarette ad on Broadway was blowing smoke rings through the trap door of one of my scattered longies. The waves in Long Island Sound were so rough, a friend of mine capsized, and when he came up, he found three terrified herring hiding in his nose. Oh, it was swell. One minute it was so hot you couldn't move, and the next a 58-mile-an-hour wind was doing the moving for you. Then to top it off, I got mixed up in one of the grisliest cases I'd ever worked on. It all started one evening. A car was moving down a lonely road, two people in it. In a couple of minutes, one of them would be pretty dead.
What are you stopping for?
What are you doing?
Nico, take your hands off me. No, help! Please, please. Ah!
Hey, Ed.
Huh?
Stop the car a second.
What for?
I thought I saw something lying back there on the road.
So what? Probably a dead dog.
No. Hold it. Too big to be a dog.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Back it up about 20 yards. That's good.
Okay, where is he?
Right over there.
Yeah. Hey, come on.
Hey. Oh, holy cow.
Yeah. She dead?
She's wrecked. I think I'm going to be sick.
Me too. Let's get to a phone, call the cops.
Knit one, purl one. Knit one, purl one. Ah, there, you little fiend. Now, what does it say about the heel? Mm-hmm. Turn the heel. Oh, I dropped a stitch. Now I got to go back and pick it up again. Yeah?
Rick, what's the matter?
Oh, Miss Asher, you and your bright ideas.
What did I do?
You did plenty. I'm a nervous wreck.
What from?
You remember you said I ought to take up something to keep me busy in the office?
Yes.
You remember you mentioned knitting?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I've dropped more stitches than the cross-eyed surgeon.
You idiot. I was only fooling.
Well, I wasn't. I did it upright. Book of directions, enough yarn to wrap up King Tut and all his handmaidens, and two of the finest bone needles and gimbals. Now, don't laugh. I was making Francis a pair of screaming argyles.
Now keep with it, strong heart. You went out.
Yeah, you darn right. Oh, what I said. Darn. Get it? Helen, are you still there?
Yes, Rick.
Wasn't funny?
No, Rick.
Okay, come on over. Let's neck.
Yes, Rick.
Shame on you.
Yes, Rick.
Is that all you can say?
I love you.
And I'll see you about 8.
Oh.
You don't sound very happy.
Well, that's such a long way off.
Give you time to make plans. Bye.
Bye.
Now, let's see. I got to take out 1, 2, 3, 5 rows. Yeah, what is it?
Rick?
Oh, how are you, Walt?
Very unhappy.
Well, you should see me. I got to take out 5 whole rows just to pick up 1 lousy stitch.
What?
No, forget it. What are you unhappy about?
I'll tell you about it when you get down here.
The 5th precinct's 20 blocks. Can't you give it to me over the pipe?
I wouldn't ask you if it wasn't important, and I'd rather not say anything over the phone.
Okay. Stop making like Porsche face in life. I'll be down as soon as I finish this heel.
Heel?
Yes, if you must know, I've taken up knitting.
Coming from you, I am unmoved. I don't care if your building sergeant orders a fur-lined money belt. Get down here as fast as you can.
All right, Walt. But you'll be sorry when it starts getting cold again, and I won't knit you a sweater to cover your little old blue stomach.
Oh.
Bye, Walt. Getting Walt's goat was a sport with me, and whether he'd admit it or not, he got a kick out of it, too. Sometimes I wouldn't stay on the rib as long as I usually do, but that was only because Walt always starts sounding just a little bit worried. Then I know it's time to lay off and get serious. Don't misunderstand me. I never lay off entirely, and I never get completely serious. Those are two habits that don't help find the solution any quicker. They just fit you with a mess of ulcers, and you still end up too worried and too serious. I closed my office and headed for Walt's precinct. When I walked in, I spotted Sergeant Otis leaning back in his chair with his number 12s resting on the desk. Hello, Otis.
Well, how's the big private detective today?
Just fine, Otis. And how is the flash of the 5th precinct?
Don't you worry about me, Diamond. I'll get along. Better go on in and see the lieutenant. He wants to see you. Hey, what's it about, Diamond? You need someone to help you from the police force?
You know, Sergeant, you've got a fine head on your shoulders.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you noticed.
The one under your arm isn't so bad either. Hello, Walt.
Rick, why don't you leave that poor guy alone? After you leave, he comes running in here and cries all over my desk.
Otis? Ah, he wouldn't shed a tear if he was standing in an onion warehouse watching his grandmother set fire to herself.
Yeah, well, give him a rest for a while. I got a big problem I want to talk to you about.
All right, Walt, what's on your mind?
Well, I don't know quite how to give it to you. It isn't strictly kosher for the police force to go around asking for help.
Now, wait a minute. I don't want any apology routine. If you want a favor, you came to the right boy, and you know that goes without saying.
Yeah, I guess I do. But this is a pretty big favor, Rick. The commissioner's on my back. So is everyone else that's got anything to do with this city's government.
Sounds rough. What did they do? Find out you were hiding a chimpanzee in a cop's uniform and calling him Sergeant Otis?
Oh, now be serious for a second, Rick.
Sure, if you'll get to the point.
All right. I guess you've been reading about these homicides we've been having for the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, pretty messy.
Well, the powers that be say solve them or turn in my badge.
Oh, well, now wait a minute. Don't they know that this is the toughest kind of a killing? The killer's obviously got a lot of screws loose, and a maniac doesn't need a motive to kill. Don't those swivel chair bigwigs know that a crime without motive is the toughest job in the world to crack?
Sure, sure, they know all that, but the public and the press is yelling its head off, so the pressure is on.
Well, what do you want me for? You've got one of the best departments in the state.
When you were on the force, it was the best department in the state. Now you stop that.
Then stop twisting my arm. What do you want?
I want help. I've got to crack this case by next week or I'm out of my ear. You're the best detective we have on the force, and you're the best private gumshoe in the city.
Oh, that's better. Now, what about these killings? Now, each time they find some dame looking like the last of a hamburger sale... Excuse me a minute, Rick. Yeah?
Lieutenant?
No, Jack the Ripper. What do you want, mallet head?
We just got a report from a guy out in the River Road. Another one of them butcher killings.
What?
Yeah, some dame all hacked up and lying beside the road.
Okay, get the car out. I'll meet you downstairs. Did you hear that, Rick?
Mm-hmm.
Well, come on.
You want me along?
Of course. I can brief you about the whole setup on the way over.
Well, I don't know whether it's such a good idea to get mixed up in this.
Why not?
Well, it looks like whoever gets close to this killer doesn't have much of a future.
Well, you can't live forever.
Oh, aren't you the sweet one? No, that's not what's worrying me.
What is, then?
When I go out, I want a nice, comfortable place to lie down in. The way this nut goes to work with a knife, I might end up in a freezer.
All right, everybody's back. Go on through, Lieutenant.
Show him your biceps, Otis.
Comic.
How did all these people get out here? This is 10 miles from anything.
Someone must have heard me call the police. When I left the phone booth, the whole crowd followed me out here.
Who are you?
My name's Ed Cody. Me and my friend here found the body.
Where is it?
Right over here, Walt.
Well, how does it look?
The way you thought it would.
Oh, Otis.
Yeah, Lieutenant. Yeah, here's your bicarb.
Now you see what I'm up against, Rick. Pardon me. This is the 3rd killing like this in 3 weeks.
Oh, I don't feel too good. Let's walk over this way.
Yeah. Cody, you and your friend come along. We want to ask some questions.
Yeah, okay.
Well, whoever the guy is that's pulling these murders is a complete lunatic. Are they all like that, Walt?
You should have seen the last one.
How'd you guys happen to spot the body?
Oh, well, I saw it first, and I told Ed here.
We were just driving along when Max spotted something lying beside the road. I backed her up, and we got out. I saw what it was. I left Mac here and went back to town to call you.
What's your full name, Mac?
McCarthy, John McCarthy.
Okay. Now, what are you doing, Rick?
Looking at the road. Is that your car up there, Cody?
It's Max. I was just driving.
You went ahead how far?
Oh, I'd say about 20 yards, then we backed up and left the car where you see it now.
You won't find much even if the road is soft. Their car and any other car would have blocked out the killer's tracks.
Maybe he didn't use a car. Maybe he walked her out this way and then killed her.
No, this place is 10 miles from anything. He drove all right.
This crowd has ruined any footprints for sure. Oh, here come the boys. Come on, Rick. As soon as they start examining things, we can get back to the station.
Yeah, I'm going to go through the whole file on the last two killings.
You won't find much.
Well, a change of reading never hurts anyone. I'm getting tired of reading those dime novels. Too bloody.
Well, that's the whole mess.
No leads at all, huh?
Not a one. I'm getting nearsighted from looking at all the lineup. We've picked up everything from drunks to safecrackers. Not a lead.
Same type of crime in every case. This killer's got a crazy streak as wide as Broadway.
Oh, wait until the commissioner hears about this one.
Well,
yeah?
Give me a pencil.
Now, tic-tac-toe is out. I got a headache.
Stop waving your gills and give me a pencil.
Here. What are you doing with that map?
Drawing circles.
Now, you stop that. That's a scale of this city, and I don't want it loused up by your doodling.
Look at that.
So you make a dandy circle.
Thanks. What's it for?
How should I know? You drew it.
Drew what?
The circle.
Wasn't that a little foolish?
Of course it was. That's what I'm yelling about.
What? Well, bad for you.
What is?
Yelling.
I know it.
I thought you said you didn't know.
Know what?
About the circle I just drew.
What circle?
The one on the map.
That's what I was yelling about.
Why? You didn't draw it.
I know I didn't. You did.
What for?
How should I know?
You're a policeman.
What in blazes has that got to do with it?
You were a rookie, weren't you?
Of course I was.
You worked your way up to sergeant and then to head of the homicide, didn't you?
You know very good and well I did.
Wasn't it a little tough?
You bet it was. I pounded the beat for 4 long years. Did it by the sweat of my brow. Now, wait a minute. How did we get into this?
You asked me about this circle I drew.
I did?
Yes, Walt. But you didn't know what it was for.
Oh, yeah. What is it for?
It's for you.
Like it? Yeah, it's not bad. Oh, I knew it, I knew it. You lowlife, you conniving, dirty, underhanded louse. You always do this to me. I think you sit around nights and pull the wings off of flies.
Moths.
All right, moths. Sit around and dream up little monstrosities to pull on the police force and use me as a
guinea pig.
Right, guinea pig.
You call me, Lieutenant?
No, get out of here, you idiot.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Diamond, for once I'm going to find out what's at the end of this merry-go-round. I want to know about that circle. And I'm going to get it out of you if I have to shove that map down your throat. Huh?
This happened to me, the commissioner,
Anderson. Oh, not you, commissioner.
Do you
Yes, commissioner.
I'm the commissioner of this
city. Yes, commissioner.
I didn't stand there. What have you found
out? Well, I just went out and looked at the body.
Well, if you don't get the next pretty soon, I'm going to have to put somebody else
up.
I can't see any reason.
Your motor's running.
You shut up.
What?
No, commissioner. Somebody else.
All right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, who was it?
I am not talking to you.
Don't you want to know about the circle?
No.
Fine. When I was looking over the reports on the killings, I noticed something.
You don't say.
Say what? Okay, if you don't want to play, be a sorehead all your life. Well, I noticed that all of the killings, including the one we looked at this afternoon, were within at least 10 miles of each other. And the first one... This one right here was exactly in the other direction from the last one.
Bully for you.
No, it's nothing. Well, using the first and last homicide for the edge of the circle, we find that the other killing also falls within the sphere.
Okay, so what?
Getting interested?
No, I'm not.
Well, the girl this afternoon had been dead for about 14 hours, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but the coroner can come closer.
Well, about anyway. Now, in the other two cases, it says that both girls met their deaths about 3 in the morning. Now, if the last one was dead 14 hours, she comes close to that time, too.
Okay, okay. What does that prove?
Not a thing. But it's something to go on. This is a wild one, Walt. But let's say that our killer started off with his victim somewhere within that circle. To drive 5 miles, half the distance of the circle, it would take him, about...
15 minutes.
Okay, 15 minutes. Now, that means he left his starting point around 2:45. Now, that's a funny hour to be so consistent.
You're right.
Bars close at 2. 45 minutes to talk a dame into a ride? Might be.
Well, I'll be darned.
I may be all wet. The killer probably started from somewhere outside the circle, but we can start by eliminating the idea of the night spots anyway.
Yeah, Lieutenant?
Checking all the night spots from...
45th Street and Broadway, the center of the circle.
From 45th Street and Broadway for 10 miles in every direction.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
That means cafes, bars, bowling alleys, anything that stays open until 2 or after, and step on it.
I hope we're right.
So do I. I don't like walking on eggs.
Then sit down. Who knows? You might hatch something. Walt found out the name of the last victim, and the family supplied us with a picture. Her name was Martha Kirk. and her family knew nothing of her whereabouts the night of the murder. You can't really appreciate a police department until you really see them in action. Inside of 2 hours, Walt had every dive, bar, and night spot in the 10-mile circle tagged. They spread out, one man to every 5 blocks, each with a picture of the 3 murdered girls. Because it had been my idea, Walt wanted me to swim with it and maybe sink. I took a little section from 48th Street to 46th Street, and by late afternoon, I'd covered most of the likely prospects. You guessed it. The bottom of the barrel was coming up fast, and it was emptier than a ballpark during a thunderstorm. No one had ever seen the 3 victims. The last spot on the list was a bowling alley. I walked in and spotted a cocktail lounge. When I climbed up on one of the stools, a bartender with a head that should have been out on the alleys walked up to me.
Yeah, what'll it be?
How about a glass of milk?
Glass of milk? Think you can stand it?
Well, if you're worried, water it a little. I don't want to pass out on you.
Get him. He made it funny.
So did your family.
You're looking for trouble.
Only if I get pushed. I'm looking for information.
Place door on the left.
Yeah. Ever seen any of these girls before?
What are you, cop?
Well, let's say I'm nosy and that I've got a badge to keep me in the spirit of the thing.
Oh, why'd you say so? Let me see him.
All right. Here's the first one.
No. I ain't never seen her.
How about this one?
Uh-uh.
And this one?
Nope. Hey, wait a minute. Sure, I know this one. Comes in here about twice a week. Was in last night. Gets lushed up, cries about how tough a family is on her. Name's,
Kirk?
Yeah. Martha. Martha Kirk. Nice looker.
She was.
Huh?
Did she ever come in with a man?
No, but sometimes she leaves with one.
Same guy every time?
No.
Do you remember her leaving with a man last night?
Yeah. Come to think of it, she did.
What time?
About 2:15. We stopped serving the 2 right on the dot. That we do.
That you do, yeah. Okay. Think you'd know the guy if you saw him again?
Oh, sure. He comes in a couple times a week, too. I seen him pick up a couple of strays. I guess you call him a wolf.
Yeah, with a hatchet.
Huh?
No, forget it. Where's your phone?
Right over there. Hey, here, use a slug. It's on the house office.
Thanks.
Hope nothing's happened to Martha. She was a rotten drunk. What a wonderful kid.
She was, huh?
Give precinct Sergeant Otis.
Otis, let me speak to the lieutenant, and if you crack just once, I'll come over there and shove your head so far down you'll have to untie your shoelaces to cough.
Okay, Diamond. You don't have to get nasty. Lieutenant Levinson.
You can forget about retiring, Walt.
You got something?
Yeah, looks like. What did your boys turn up?
Nothing yet. What is it, Rick? Don't play games now.
Get over to 47th and 9th. The bowling alley in the middle of the block. I'm in the bar.
Want me to bring the boys?
No. This is one we've got to play quietly. I don't want to scare our ghoul off.
I'll be right down.
Hey, what about that milk?
Huh? Oh, yeah, coming up. Is there going to be a pinch?
There is, Buster. There certainly is. Walt romped in about a half hour later, and he talked to the bartender. He finally looked satisfied, and he had to, because it was the only lead that had turned up. We told the bartender to tip us if the guy showed again, and we sat down to wait. Maybe my rabbit's foot started thinking it was back with the quartet because around 1 a.m. it started kicking. The bartender gave us a nod just as a big guy wandered in and sat down at the bar. He weighed in at about 220, and his clothes were sloppy. He ordered a drink and started eyeing a cute little number sitting at the other end of the bar. Let's take him. Hold it, Walt. He's making a pitch.
What?
The dame at the end of the bar.
So he's making a pitch. What do you want to do? Wait around till he takes her out of here? Maybe you'd like to help him sharpen his axe.
Look, you haul him in now, you'll have to beat it out of him.
You want him to pick the dame up?
Well, is that against the law? Arrest me.
Now, you stop clowning.
You'd rather catch him with the goods, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but...
Now, don't start that again. You butted the commissioner to death.
Just relax, and maybe you can pick up a few pointers.
Our big boy moved all right. Right up to the seat next to the cute little girl. She was under full sail, didn't seem to mind it at all. He landed at 1:15. At 1:30, he'd established a firm beachhead, and by 2 o'clock, there was a flag raising.
Okay, he scored. Now, the joint's closing.
Now, they're leaving. I'm going to tail him.
How? He's probably got a car. And if he gets away with that girl, he may kill her.
Look, Walt, I promise you, he won't get into that car unless I go, too. Now, come on. We'll both stick close to him until I can think of something. We followed the man and the girl outside and walked a few yards behind, making like we had a little load on. They headed for a big parking lot, and that's when I got the idea. The parking attendant was just walking up to him when I stumbled forward.
Hey, boy.
Rick, what are you doing?
Stay with me, Walt.
Yeah? Son, I want my car.
Just a minute. I was here first.
Sure, honey. Don't let him get away with it.
Look, old man. My friend here is late getting home. He's got a wife that's 10 feet tall. You mind if I get my car first?
go ahead.
Some nerve.
Relax, honey. They're going to take a little drive, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see your ticket.
Well, I got it here someplace. Well, come on, we'll walk up. I know where the car is.
Okay, but you got to have a ticket.
Rick, what's going on?
Keep walking.
Hey, I thought you was loaded.
Keep going. We're the police.
Huh?
That's right.
Oh. What's wrong?
Which one is that guy's car?
You mean the guy back there with the dame?
Yeah.
Give me his ticket. Right over there, the coupe.
Rick, come on. I'm going to climb in that trunk, and you're going to put in a general alarm, Walt. Then you're going to get in your car and tail us. But stay far enough behind so that he doesn't spot something.
Okay, but I think you're crazy. Is the trunk open?
Yeah. Now get going.
Well, they'll see me coming back.
Tell him you forgot something in the bowling alley and that I passed out my car.
All right. And son.
Yeah?
Don't let on that anything had happened. We think that man is a killer.
Oh.
I squeezed into the trunk and waited. About 2 minutes later, the lovebird showed up and got in the front seat. We rode like that for about 15 minutes, and it wasn't bad until we hit the dirt road. Then my inside started bouncing around like a pound of rice in a wind tunnel. We drove for about 10 minutes more and came to a stop. I raised the trunk just enough to get some fresh air and listen. I didn't want to climb out because they'd feel the movement up in front. I was sure they could hear my breathing.
What are we stopping for?
Well, I just wanted to look at the pretty scenery.
How can you? It's too dark.
I can see you, baby.
You're nice.
Thank you. So, are you?
They went on like that for another half hour, and I started thinking I'd picked the wrong guy. Then the conversation changed.
What's the matter? That's so funny.
Don't you know?
No, and I don't like the way you're acting.
Women. That's what's funny. They're all the same.
Huh?
Just like my wife. She was like all the other women.
Hey, let's get out of here. You're talking funny.
Funny? Yeah. See a man and you like him. Any man. You're all alike.
Now you stop that. I just came along.
Come here.
No, you let me go.
You ain't no different. Come here.
No, stop that. Let me get out of the car.
Sure. Go ahead. I don't want no blood stains on the seat anyhow.
What?
Run! I'll catch you!
That tore it right down the middle. I rolled out and didn't forget to take my .38 along. I spotted it in the moonlight, moving after it like a big animal. He was laughing. I could see something in his hand. It was a knife. She tripped and fell, and he moved in. He gave me goosebumps bigger than grapefruit. When he was nearly on top of her, I closed in. Okay, hold it! All right, honey? No. Just take it easy. It's all over.
I'm so glad you got here.
Come on, now. Let's get back to the car. Easy. You sure you're all right, dear?
You know something?
No, what?
I think that man was crazy.
Well, Walt finally got there, and we sent the girl home. The wagon came and cleaned up things. I found out later that Walt was blessed by the commissioner, and I got an assist. I needed calming down, so I stopped off at 975 Park Avenue, the home of the best remedy for bruised nerves I knew of.
Oh, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Francis. Is Miss Asher in?
Yes, sir. She's in the study, knitting.
Knitting?
Knitting.
Thank you, Francis.
Knit one, purl two. Knit one, purl two.
That's like taking stupid pills.
Rick.
Hello, baby.
Oh, look what I've gotten into. I'm a nervous wreck.
Oh, that'll teach you. What are you building?
Well, it was going to be a surprise for you.
Oh, a whole suit.
Oh, silly. Ricky.
Yeah?
I need relaxing.
You need relaxing? Oh, swell.
Ricky, come here.
I know just a thing.
No, come over here.
There's an old spinning wheel in the parlor. A spinning dreams of a long, long ago.
Ricky!
What's the matter, dear? What about this?
Cruising down the river. On a Sunday afternoon.
Ricky.
With one you love, the sun above, waiting for the moon.
Ricky.
The old accordion playing.
Ricky.
A sentimental tune.
Rick!
Oh, honey, what's the matter?
You can sing later.
Oh.
Please.
What is it, really, baby?
Come here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know something?
What?
I may never sing again.
Okay.
You have just heard Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Helen was played by Virginia Gregg, Lieutenant Levinson by Ed Begley. Also in our cast were Wilms Herbert, Bill Conrad, Loreen Tuttle, Jack Crucian, and Sidney Miller. Music was under the direction of Frank Worth. Richard Diamond is written by Blake Edwards and directed by William P. Rousseau. Dick Powell will next be seen in the motion picture Mrs. Mike, based on the best-selling novel Mrs. Mike. Now, this is Eddie King inviting you to be with us again at the same time next week when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Now, Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. NBC presents Frank Sinatra, starring as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune.
I guess I've had some strange jobs in my time. Once I was a shill for a guess your weight guy in a carnival. I'd come up there looking like a rube, and he'd guess my weight at 200 even. Everybody in the crowd gives him the old ha-ha. However, they don't know I got the lead in my pants. About 50 pounds in my two hip pockets. You never really know when you start in just how a job's going to turn out. Sometimes the one that looked like the tamest turn out to be the loaded. Like the time I'm sent by the agency to play parlor maid to a gang of plaster Paris statues. The sign on the front of the window said Oliver Bates, Objet d'Art.
Hello?
It looks like I've intruded on ladies' night in an uninhibited Turkish bath. Most of the plaster statues are dames, and most of the dames would be arrested on the spot if they ever set foot on Jones Beach at daylight. Pretty soon, an oily little guy slides out under the door from the back room and oozes up to me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, what can I do for you? A reproduction for your library? A nymph? A satyr? Some faun?
Sure, any time. What do you got in mind?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, it's all right. You Oliver Bates?
Yes.
Well, the agency sent me over. They said you needed a handyman.
Oh, of course. Do you know anything about dusting statuary?
What is there to know about dusting it?
Well, the statues aren't intrinsically valuable, of course, but still, we must be careful. Aren't they beautiful?
Hmm. What happened to this one? She bite her nails?
That is the Venus de Milo.
Oh. Well, when do I start?
Right away. I'll expect you to keep all the statues dusted, the floor swept, and the windows cleaned.
Tell me, Mr. Bates, what is all this stuff? Looks like dream night in a DT ward.
My dear fellow, these are some of the finest statuary reproductions available. For example, this is a gargoyle from Notre Dame.
Oh, I remember this cat. He used to play fullback. Sam Gargoyle.
And this is the Aztec god Paliago Chilia Chilia.
Gesundheit.
Of course, you know you'll spend the nights here.
They told me, but I didn't bargain for this collection of gremlins. Is this stuff the genuine McCoy?
Of course not. They're plaster reproductions. Take this one, the Hag at Bay. The original stands in the Palazzo del Marco in Florence. Isn't she lovely?
Yeah, she reminds me of the old broad that sells the pretzels on 48th Street. She's got cobwebs on her nose.
Look out. Be careful.
Listen her up a little bit. Ticklish, honey?
Look out, you fool. It's falling.
I got it.
You fool, you idiot. Look what you've done.
Her arm comes off, that's all.
Get away from there. Don't touch it.
Maybe I could glue it back on.
No. Go away. Get out of here.
How much does it cost? You can take it out of my salary.
Don't touch it.
Look, Mr. Bates, what's it worth?
What's it worth? Well, I suppose it really can be mended. I'll just carry it back to the shelf after this. Be careful.
Okay. Hey, Gargoyle. How do you think he'll do against Southern Cal? It turns out that Bates is running strictly a schlock house. He imports these plaster dummies from Italy for a couple of hundred lira apiece, which in American money ain't worth counting. He sells them over here to art lovers for 25 clams, which is a markup with a Macy's tail talking to gimbals. I put in a couple of hours talking football with a gargoyle when a car squeals to a stop in front of the store. One of those foreign jobs, about 3.5 blocks long with a chauffeur out in the cold. An old geezer in a Scotch plaid shawl crawls out of the back and totters in. He's leaning on a silver-headed cane and a blonde-headed dish with a pair of legs that weren't off a piano.
Excite yourself, Mr. Spool. Remember the doctor.
Oh, that doctor's an idiot. Bates! You!
Yeah?
Oh. Oh, you're not Bates.
I'm Rocky Fortune.
Rocky, I don't want you. Bates!
Yes, Spool. I was in the back. I didn't hear you. Fortune, get Mr. Spool's chair.
I don't want a chair. I want to talk about...
Mr. Spool, perhaps we'd better go inside.
Now, here. I drove all the way from Westchester to this miserable little shop, and I won't be put off.
Of course, Mr. Spool. We can talk in my private office this way.
Oh, yes, of course. Sharon, wait here for me.
Yes, Mr. Spool.
He's a peppery old buzzard, ain't he?
Mm-hmm. That old buzzard is Jonathan J. Spool.
Oh, you mean he's the old nut with the copper money, huh?
He has $8 million invested in copper, yes.
That's a lot of copper. You work for him?
I'm his secretary.
Must be nice to have $8 million in copper.
You work for Mr. Bates?
Yeah.
Must be very interesting work.
It's a living.
Can you tell me about the statues?
Sure. What do you want to know?
Well, are they all plastered?
All except Gargoyle. He's in training.
Oh, very funny. You really know about them?
Sure. Bates couldn't get along without me. Look, when you tuck the old man in for his afternoon nap, why don't you come on back and I'll tell you all about him?
I'm sorry. I'll be busy with Mr. Spruill's collection all day.
What's he collect? Bottle caps?
Mr. Spruill is probably the world's foremost private collector of antique artifacts.
Is that a fact?
He has the only complete set of early Greek amphorae with lids.
What's amphorae?
Vases. Delicate ceramic vases.
And he's got the lids?
That's right.
Sweetie, you can call them amphorae, Liz. I call them bottle caps. About this time, Bates pours himself out of his office and sends me out for supper. I'm not particularly anxious to go because the counterman at the one-armed joint around the corner has his shirt buttoned two buttons lower than Sharon, but the effect is not the same. I inhale a bowl of chili and a piece of rubber meringue pie and head back to the store. There's nobody in front of the store, so I walk through to the back, tipping my hat to the haggard bay as I pass, and I open the office door. Good, you're still here. I was afraid you'd... Hey, what's Bates doing on the floor? Mr. Bates! Mr. Bates!
He's dead.
You ain't kidding, lady. Somebody blew out the back of his head, and it took a big gun to do that.
A gun?
Yeah, maybe a .45 automatic, something like the one you're holding in your hand. Maybe you better give it to me right now. Now you better tell Rocky all about it.
Well, I didn't do it.
Look, Sharon, I find you standing over a stiff with a real hot rod.
Oh, you gotta believe me. I found him this way. Mr. Sproul left his shawl. He sent me back for it, and I walked in and... I...
Don't tell me that you picked the gun up off the floor.
I don't know why. I...
Hey, you're real scared, aren't you?
It was awful. I touched him. My hand...
All right. Slow down. Did you see anybody when you came in?
No. Yes, wait a minute. There's a black car halfway down the block, and it drove off just as I came in.
Maybe it was a heist. Let's see. Bates kept his roll in his pocket. It's gone, all right. He must have had a couple of hundred in there. Hey.
What is it?
An insurance policy on his last shipment. Well, the shipment is safe. Bates should have made the policy straight life, I guess.
What's that?
Snow White and the two dopes.
What?
A patrol car. Somebody must have heard the shot.
What'll I do? They won't believe me.
Look, we're both in a spot. Camping out over a corpse is not popular with the lads in blue. Sharon, this whole deal is fishy in the Fulton Street Market on Friday morning. Come on.
Where are you going?
Out the back.
But the police will think that I...
If we stay here, they won't have to think. They'll pin it on you like a gardenia. Come on. Comanche sneak out the back door while the cops waste the taxpayer's rubber squealing to a stop in front. We beat it down an alley and around the corner onto the street. By the time we slow down to a walk, Sharon's out of air, breathing heavy, which on her looks good.
What do we do now?
That's a good question. There are a couple of leads I got in mind.
Leads?
That Bates was as phony as a showgirl's eyelash.
Why do you say that?
A couple of reasons. For one thing, what would a two-bit operation like that need a night watchman for? He never had one up until the time he hired me. For another thing, that insurance policy. It was for 50 grand.
Oh, now, what does that mean?
He had something in that store beside dying swans.
But what?
That's what I'd like to know. Look, let's move.
You ain't going nowhere,
what? If that's your finger, pal, you got stuck in my back, your nails need cutting.
That ain't no finger, Buster. That's a 6-inch knife. You can cut a hair with it, lengthwise. Okay, Mr. Bunting, I got him.
Good work, Butler.
What's the idea of this?
Shut up.
Look out for the knife. You'll damage the herringbone.
One more part of you, I'll damage the backbone.
All right, Butler. I'm sure they'll cooperate.
In a pig's eye. What do you want?
Well, you see, I have my car, and I thought I might drop you somewhere.
No, thanks. It's a nice night. I'll walk.
Enter the car, wise guy.
All right.
Would you prefer the back or the jump seat, miss?
Doesn't make any difference.
Well, I'd like
get
to...
Get in there, yo.
All right, don't push.
Everybody comfy?
Great. Your gorilla's sitting on my head.
Really, Puddler? You should be polite to our passengers.
Well, Mr. Banzinger, you don't want him to know where we're going, do you?
Certainly not. Let him up.
Okay. But if you don't want him to see...
Don't be crude about it. The civilized way is like this.
Mr. Benzinger reaches back from the front seat and lays the butt of a .38 just back of my ear. I lose interest in most everything at that point and start on a personal inspection tour of several deep shaft coal mines without benefit of safety light. The next thing I see is a pair of bushy eyebrows, and I figure it's John L. checking up on my union card. By the time I get my eyes propped wider, I discover it's the ape Puddler looking at me. For a while, I think I'm still out because his face is turning from green to red to orange to yellow to blue and back to green. It takes me a minute to figure. Suddenly, I get it. I am in some kind of a loft with a skylight, and the technicolor effect comes from an advertising sign somewhere outside.
He's batting his eyes, Mr. Banzinger.
Give him some water.
You're wet like it.
Not that way, in a glass.
What are you guys trying to pull?
Should I start with a telephone book?
Not yet, Butler.
The telephone book won't hurt him much. It just kind of pikes him up.
Wait. You are Rocky Fortune?
Yeah. Hey, where's the girl?
In the next room. Fortune, before I let Butler earn his keep, perhaps you'd like to tell me where it is.
Where what is?
You say, Mr. Banzinger, if you let me start with a telephone book, this wouldn't happen.
Quiet. Your employer saw fit to resist our simple questions.
You knocked him off.
Unfortunately, Puddler's reflexes are quicker than his intellect.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's up to you to tell us where it is.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I can start with a Staten Island book, Mr. Banzinger. That's real thin.
Please.
Quite damn boy.
At the proper moment, Puddler, you may use the Manhattan Red Book. Fortune, your time is running out, and I am running out of patience.
Why don't you just give up?
Bates would have an assistant who didn't know.
Bates didn't tell me anything. He didn't even trust me with his two-bit statues. You should have heard him holler when I broke the arm off an old plaster bag. You'd have thought it was made out of gold. You guys are making a big mistake if you think he told me anything.
It's not yours, Mr. Banzinger. This crumb won't talk. Why don't you lie?
On the contrary, Puddler, I think he has talked.
I have?
He has?
Puddler, you will escort Mr. Fortune somewhere into the country and lose him. Permanently.
A plague.
Unfortunately, I will not be able to accompany you in the car. I'm sure Mr. Fortune would give his word of honor not to make any trouble.
Oh, yeah, sure. Cross my heart and hope to die.
Yes, I wouldn't be at all surprised. But just to make sure, Puddler.
Yes, Mr. Banzinger.
The Brooklyn book?
Right.
I am back in the coal mine again, and I'm beginning to figure I should have portal-to-portal pay. This time, the first thing I notice is a delicate aroma. It is vaguely familiar, and then I place it. The last time I go down to the track at Monmouth Park, when the train comes out of the tunnel on the Jersey side, a sudden essence arrives simultaneously with the sunlight. I discover that this is a place where all good pigs go to die. Secaucus, New Jersey. Well, this is where I am again. I bat one eye and find I'm driving along with Puddler. He's got one hand on a portable howitzer and the other on the wheel. So I play possum. When the car stops, Puddler gets out on his side and comes around the back to get me. Only when he gets there, I'm gone.
Hey, 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 yo!
So long, sucker. A couple of quick shots after me, but outside of one lucky hit on the rear window, I'm home free. I head into town to stop on this side of the George Washington Bridge to put in the call of my old friend Sergeant Finger of Homicide.
Fortune, where are you?
Never mind, listen. You want the guy who rubbed out the art dealer Bates?
You're darn right I do. Fortune, if you...
They put the snatch on me, two thugs. A guy named Benzinger and a Neanderthal man named Puddler.
What are you raving about?
You gotta find him, they got a girl.
How nice for them. Look, Fortune, why don't you make it easy for all of us? Turn yourself in to the nearest precinct.
Finger, you gotta believe me. Don't you want the guy that knocked off Bates?
You bet I do. Turn yourself in, Fortune. I'll let you take a manslaughter plea.
I haven't got time to talk to you, knucklehead.
Wait a minute, Fortune. Don't go away, man. Let's talk this thing over. How have you been? What else is new?
There's Sergeant Finger for you, thinking all the time. Gonna trace the call. Bye now. I drive into town and get stuck in a traffic jam at 10th Avenue. While I'm sitting between two 20-ton trucks, both of them dumping carbon monoxide down my throat, I keep thinking of that blonde, kind of fragile, like she was made of spun glass, but real spun. And then I remember, Puddler with his face changing colors like a chameleon. A bell rings and a little electric light bulb lights up upon my head.
I head down 10th Avenue to the offices and workshop of the Mammoth Spectacular Company. Down in the shop working with a blowtorch, I find old Charlie Svoboda.
Rocky, I ain't seen you since you was fired for misspelling a word in that beer sign on 42nd Street.
How's the old glass blower? They still call you on every sign north of Trenton?
Sure, sure. Who could make a spectacular without old Charlie?
And Mama still makes all the big signs, huh?
Well, we got a little competition, but they don't make nothing more than signs on powder room doors.
That's what I figured. Charlie, I gotta find a special sign.
What sign?
All I know is the colors. Green, red, orange, yellow, blue, green.
Uh-huh. Which is longest?
The yellow. The green was the shortest.
Yeah, I'll check it in the records for you, but I think I know the one.
Yeah? What one?
It's a beautiful sign. Six-cycle animation. I worked on it only last year.
Where is it?
A Bensonhurst in Brooklyn. Arf-arf dog food. Let arf-arf suit your food.
Charlie looks it up and gives me the address. I put 10 gallons of gas in Mr. Benzinger's car, which I think is very nice of me under the circumstances, and head out to Bensonhurst. There's a sign with two dogs chasing each other around in circles. I take a line of sight from the sign to find two possible skylight windows. I climb up the stairs of the first loft and boil in.
Ah!
It turns out to be an artist who was painting a replacement for September Morn. His model takes a dim view of my intrusion, so I get out in a hurry. The second loft, I figure, has got to be it. I go up the stairs real quiet. The door at the top is ajar, and I ease my way into the room without squeaking the hinge. The room is empty. I go across to the other door, grab hold of the doorknob, and yank. Sharon, are you all right?
Oh, Rocky.
The door was open. Why didn't you get away?
I was tied. I just got loose. When I heard you, I thought it was those men coming back.
No, I left Puddler with the pigs, but he could have gotten back by now. We better get out of here.
I'm so glad to see you.
Yeah. Come on. Wait a minute. Listen. Here they come.
What do we do?
Look, they don't know I'm up here. Come on over here behind the door.
What are you going to do?
I brought a tire jack up from the car. We'll knock him off like ducks in a shooting gallery when he comes through the door.
Shh. Careful, Puddler. Don't drop it.
Looks like Puddler hits himself a ride back from Jersey. Here they come now. Ready? One.
Drop the wrench, Rocky.
What the?
Grab him, Puddler.
Don't bother. I have him covered. One move, Fortune. I'll blow a disc out of your spine.
Lady, please do me a favor and shoot. I came back to rescue you.
Well, that was very sweet of you. Did you get it, Benzinger?
Yes, miss. Puddler, bring in the statue.
The arm is off. But I didn't do it.
Well, what do you know? The old bat from the art store. What do you want with that statue?
Never mind.
I told you we'd get it for you, miss.
You've done brilliantly, haven't you? First you shoot bait, and this imbecile lets Fortune get away from him. Come on. Pick up the statue, and we'll all go in the car.
How about Fortune? Couldn't I just...
He comes with us till it's over. Let's go.
Lady, if we're going in the car again, may I make one request?
What is it?
Let's not go Pullman this time. I'd like to sit up all the way. We are a happy crew in the car. Benzinger, Puddler, Sharon, the plaster statue, and little old curly-headed me. We head north on the East Side Drive over the bridge of the parkway into Westchester. When we roll through an iron grill gate with a big sign on it saying Spruill, I begin to get the idea.
Benzinger, you come in with me and bring the statue. Remember, you tell the blind old fool you were Bates' assistant. Puddler?
Yeah?
Keep the motor running, and when we get the payoff, we've got to get out fast. Come on.
After you, miss.
And keep Fortune sitting tight.
The light, as they say, begins to dawn. Whatever it was that Bates was trying to sell to Spruill, Sharon hijacked and cut herself in.
Set Stella on it. They should have let me use the phone book.
You know that some people use the phone book to look up numbers?
They do? Never thought of that.
You never thought of a lot of things. Like, for instance, this car's got an automatic shift.
Yeah, so what?
Well, you ought to have it neutral, not in drive like you got it.
Listen, wise guy, you trying to tell me how to drive a getaway car? You got to be ready to start on an instant's notice.
Like this?
Hey, get your foot off.
Give me that gun.
Look out, the car! You got my foot jammed on!
Yeah, it's a great pickup this model's got, huh?
Going right into that house! Look out!
We go through the front. garage doors like a knife through cheese and end up on the opposite wall of the living room with Benzinger pinned between the bumper and the brick fireplace. Puddle is slightly out of commission, having stuck his head through the windshield. I pile out of the car with Puddle's gun. Sharon's knocked head over tea kettle, out like a light but still breathing very pretty.
What is this? What happened?
Pardon me, Mr. Sproul. Is this the Sawmill River Parkway?
What is the meaning of this? I'll call the police.
I think it's a great idea. And when they get here, we'll hand them that statue you're cutting.
Oh, no. It's mine. I paid for it.
Lots of people paid for it. Bates, for one.
Why, what are you talking about? I just paid this man $50,000. He's Bates' assistant.
He's Bates' murderer.
Murderer?
Why did you pay 50 grand for this plaster statue?
Why, it's not a plaster statue. It's what's underneath. Look, I'll show you. There, do you see? There it is. Aphrodite, the goddess of love, carved by Praxiteles himself. Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful.
You had Bates steal it for you, cover it over with that cheap plaster statue to hide.
Oh, you think I care? Now it's mine, all mine.
I hope the two of you are very happy. Maybe she'll write you letters.
Letters? What are you talking about?
You're going to the can, old-timer. You're an accessory before, after, and during a murder.
She's beautiful. Beautiful.
And that reminds me, Sharon. Sharon, baby. Can you hear me, honey?
What? What is it?
I got something important to ask you.
What?
Where does Puddle keep his Westchester book? I want to call the cops.
NBC has presented Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. Others in tonight's cast were Jan Minor, Ted Osborne, Leon Janney, Joseph Julian, Ed Begley, and Mandel Kramer. Tonight's script was written by Ernest Canoy. Fred Way directed. Now to tell you about next week's adventure, here's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
Ever see a magician pull the disappearing act on somebody? I always wondered how they did it, and then finally I found out. A carnival guy pulled a disappearing act on me. The only trouble was he was trying to make me disappear for keeps. I'll tell you about it next week. See you around.
This program was transcribed. This is the NBC Radio Network. Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as... The Saint.
I'm out of town. I'm curled up in front of the fire with a good book. I haven't got a good book. Do you have a good book?
Only the best. Can't wait till I learn how to read.
Tonight I am not the illiterate's little friend. Good night.
Simon. Think.
It's too late.
Think of a desert moon. Think of a black sky sprinkled with silver stars.
I'm trying. Another minute and I'll hear a coyote howling.
Think of a small blonde with big eyes.
You don't sound like a small blonde. I wouldn't know about the eyes.
Her name was Marie and her mood was ardent.
You were hiding in the rumble seat.
When you got back with her Hollywood, she slapped me in the face.
Raleigh.
How are you, Simon?
I'm keeping up with my Social Security payments, and you?
Oh, making a series of personal appearances all over the country in the shrinking flesh. The studio's idea. Simon, I know it's late, but I've got to see you right away.
Well?
The address is 39 Fitch Avenue. If you hurry over, I'll give you a shampoo.
I already had a shampoo.
Stop boasting and come on over.
You sound worried.
I'm going out of my mind. It might not be a long trip, but Simon, I'm besieged by a gorilla.
Hey. Hello, Raleigh.
Simon, come on in.
Thanks.
It's good to see you. Oh, Marie still remembers you.
Oh?
I duck every time I meet her.
Raleigh, I hate to get personal, but someone has confused you with Grant. This tomb is,
Renting this moth-eaten mansion was the studio's idea. Oh. I tried to have them put in a small subway, but they got very snide about it.
Well, it's really a very nice mansion. When did Dracula move out?
Keep this under your hat, but I think he's still around, lurking. Let's start the long trek.
All right.
The idea is just set a steady pace and keep to it.
Yeah, but how do you know you're going in the right direction?
The moss on the moldings.
Oh, yeah. Say, Raleigh, what about this gorilla you mentioned over the phone?
Oh, I'd forgotten about him for a few fleeting moments. Simon, the next picture I'm doing is a jungle picture.
Oh.
You mean whoa. Anyway, the studio got the bright idea of having me photographed next to one of our furry little brothers. So they issued a dozen memos, and a little man complete with gorillas showed up here about an hour ago with 9,000 photographers. Oh, we veer to the left here.
Oh, thank you.
The photographers ran out of flash bulbs some time ago and left. The gent with the primate, his name is Preble.
The primate?
No, the gent.
Oh.
He seems to feel reluctant about leaving.
Oh, is he bigger than you are?
No.
Well, then why the desperation call to me?
I don't know exactly, except that Preble isn't some kind of a jam. He wouldn't tell me what it was, but...
Shy?
No. Terrified, I think. We've made it. The gorilla.
He's only a very small monkey.
And this is Mr. Preble. Mr. Preble, Simon Templar.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Simon Templar?
Yes.
The saint?
In a haphazard sort of way.
You're the kind of man who might be able to help me. They'd be afraid of you.
Who would be?
Oh, I don't know if I should tell you, but because maybe I'm guilty too.
Guilty of what?
Oh, I'd better go now. Perhaps after I think it over. May I call on you for aid if...
Of course you may.
Thank you very much. Wenceslaus, we're leaving now.
Wenceslaus?
Yes. He's a very talented monkey. I spent years training him. Now, perhaps he's going to be the reason why I'll go to jail. Well, that is... Good night, Mr. Ames. You were very cooperative.
Part of my job, but why don't you break down and tell Mr. Templar all? Thousands, nay, millions of people have.
Oh, I'm sure of that, but I can't decide whether I can be helped. Please, I'll go now, if you don't mind.
All right. Think you can find the front door all by yourself?
I'm sure I can.
I'm in the phone book, Mr. Preble, and I'd suggest you don't wait too long.
No, I won't.
He's a funny little man. He was practically running when he left.
Nothing much you can do for him if he won't open up.
Perhaps not, but... Raleigh, let's go after him.
But Simon...
I've seen terror in people's eyes before, and I don't like it.
That isn't pretty. Simon, have you got any idea about what's bothering him?
Not much of one, but from what he said, I'd guess that somehow, and probably innocently, he'd gotten himself involved with something or somebody highly illegal. The monkey figure's in it, too.
He's made the front door.
My legs hold out and we catch up with him, I'd like to...
Simon!
Yeah, that was Preble. Come on, we run for it.
That car!
He turned the corner. Too far away to get the license number.
Well, maybe it's someone playing a joke on Preble, Simon.
No. It wasn't a very good joke, Raleigh. Preble died, but not laughing.
I phoned the police. I'll be here pretty soon.
Good. There's not much point in my remaining. It don't even irritate them.
All right, but, Simon, take the monkey with you.
Huh? What?
I'm not the type on which a monkey looks good. Besides, I think Preble would prefer to have you hold onto the monkey rather than the police.
Well, maybe you're right. If the monkey was involved in anything and wasn't under police guard, things might happen. All right. I'll take him. I liked Preble.
You could be sticking your neck out, asking for the axe, Simon. But you don't mind that, do you?
No, as a matter of fact, I like that, too. Monkeying with murder.
Oh. Shut up.
What would the neighbors say?
Hello.
They'd say hello. Oh, well, that is...
I've been waiting for you.
You have?
Uh-huh. That's why I'm out of breath.
Well, it would be fun believing that, but...
I meant I ran up the stairs to be here ahead of you.
Oh, it was you in that cab that followed mine, huh?
Shouldn't we discuss this inside?
Oh, perhaps we should. The light switch is to your right.
Got it. Oh, nice.
Thank you. My name is Simon Templar.
I know. I'm Lola.
And this is Wenceslaus. He's a monkey.
I know that, too.
You're very bright. But what's on your mind?
I'm afraid to tell you.
Well, I wonder if I'm afraid to hear.
Look away for a minute and...
Well, it can't be that embarrassing.
Please. I'm shy.
Well, all right. I'm looking away.
About having anyone see me take this out of my bag.
Take what? Oh, that.
This.
Lola, you've deceived me.
Have I?
I thought you were preparing to tell me how smitten you were by my curly locks.
They're cute.
Yeah, I didn't expect you to point a revolver at me.
But you see, Wenceslaus has even curlier locks.
More, too.
That's right. So I'll take him. And you can go to sleep.
Yeah, but I'm not sleeping.
Would you rather be dead?
You can't shoot me.
Why not?
It's not in my lease. Why do you want the monkey?
I'm very fond of Wenceslaus.
Oh, an old schoolmate? Or did he belong to someone you love?
Simon, you're bitter.
You're beautiful.
Thank you.
Liar.
Why, Simon.
And possibly a murderer.
That's the nicest thing anybody has ever said to me. Good night, Simon.
Don't look around, Lola, but someone's just opened the door behind you.
Oh, such an old trick, Simon.
Believe me, this isn't a trick. It isn't going to do me any good either from the looks of things.
Hi, Lola. It's your ever-loving Max. Drop the pump.
I've...
Drop it.
All right.
Now we're all one happy family.
I'm not happy. What do you want?
Huh?
Well, you want to laugh and be merry. And do you have to do it in my living room?
Friends, you are a very lucky guy.
I count my blessings every night.
Because now you only got half an explanation to make.
I was young, foolish. The night was...
For example, would I have walked in and found Lola there sitting in your lap? Then you would have had to explain that, too.
Oh, don't be silly. The explanation would be obvious, if...
But seeing as how Lola was not being friendly, all that you got to explain... How come you got the monkey?
Wenceslaus? Oh, it's love, Max. He loves me for my eyes of blue. He hates me for my money. I must be giving quite a performance.
Yeah. And so far, you're still alive, too. Not like Preble.
Suppose we leave personalities out of this.
How'd you get the monkey?
He followed me home.
I'm beginning to stop laughing.
Oh, that's a shame. You have such a jolly laugh.
I am beginning to get sore.
Max,
keep out of this. For the time being, you were in the clear. You was removing a monkey from this guy here. What you were going to do once you had the monkey?
I was going to bring him to you.
Yeah, well, I will decide if I want to believe that in my leisure time. Right now, I'm waiting for Junior there to make with the lips.
You mean you want Wenceslaus to chat?
I mean you.
Oh, all right. Well, there was once a young lady of Siam who remarked, oh, what a big girl I am.
Cut it out.
Oh, you heard that one. Well, how about
the monkey?
I was hoping you wouldn't notice. The little darling picked up Lola's gun.
Hey, listen, pal, you oink me.
I oink you? Well, on the other hand... Thank you, Wenceslaus. You see, he's fond of my shoulder. Now I've got a gun, too.
Well, how do you like that?
It's a nice touch. Wenceslaus is very bright.
Yeah. Now, I got a gun pointing at you, but you got a gun pointing at me.
That's beautifully put.
And if we was to trade bullets, maybe one of us might get out alive.
Ah, but which one?
Right now, I ain't sure I want to find out. How about us arbitrating?
Of course. You drop your gun and get out of here, and I'll go to sleep.
I don't have to drop my gun to get out of here.
That's true enough. All right, let's observe that happy event. Get out.
But I gotta have the monkey.
Wenceslaus doesn't like you.
I still... Hey, who's playing with the light?
Lola!
Simon!
Somebody left. Or perhaps a couple of somebodies. I don't know yet.
Simon, don't put the lights on.
Why?
I'm afraid of what we'll see.
The shooting's over. I've got to.
Oh, I was so frightened. Simon, nobody's been shot. Max is gone.
Somebody has been shot, Lola.
Oh... A monkey.
Yeah. He's dead.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I sort of liked Wenceslaus.
Well, Wenceslaus isn't interested anymore. I am, though.
Am I liking you?
Not at the moment. What I meant was Wenceslaus wasn't killed by accident. He was off by himself when he was shot. He was murdered.
That's strange. A monkey murdered.
Very strange. What could he have known that... Mindy had to die.
Simon.
Yes, Lola?
You made me promise to take you to Max, but it's not safe.
The taxi?
Going after Max.
Oh, perhaps not. But I like Wenceslaus. I even like Preble.
Still, it's no real concern of yours.
Preble was killed shortly after I'd met him. Wenceslaus was murdered in my apartment. Makes it all sort of personal. Besides, I don't admire killers.
How about me?
You killed anyone?
No.
Well, in that case, I could very easily...
What?
Believe you.
And if you did?
Then I could very easily...
What?
Yeah. Warm night, isn't it?
No. Cold. Paper says freezing.
Yeah. It's a warm night.
You mind?
No, but what will the cab driver think?
What do you think he'll think?
He'll think what I think he'll think. Well, we've arrived. It's not likely to go down in history as a deathless statement, but... Lola.
All right.
I'll pay the driver. Here's a little something for your income tax return.
Oh, thanks, mister.
Let's go.
Max won't be here.
No, we'll wait for him.
You see, this isn't Max's house.
Oh?
Belongs to his boss.
Well, it's nice to know Max isn't among the unemployed.
Simon, we'd better be very careful.
I always am.
I meant... Well, remember what happened to the monkey.
Nobody could confuse me with a monkey. I shave. Good evening.
Mr. Haig.
Ah, Lola.
May we come in?
Of course. Come into the parlor, naturally. It's where the villain always leads the fair heroine and handsome hero. Lola, I require an introduction.
Mr. Haig, this is Simon Templer. Simon, Mr. Haig.
How do you do? Delighted. The parlor. Make yourselves comfortable. I'm doing my best to sound like a spider.
Shall I try to look like a fly?
It wouldn't work. Rather an odd combination. Lola and the saint. Both for the saint?
Oh, you mustn't take the name literally.
And for Lola.
Hake, I tried to get the monkey.
And Roland Ames's autograph at the same time?
No. Simon had him.
I'm deeply fascinated.
But you must know all about that.
How?
Well, Max must have told you.
We'll bypass that for the moment.
Max must have told you he killed the monkey.
He told me nothing of the sort.
Well, the monkey's dead.
So, Max?
Yeah, Mr. Haig?
Max, I have just been informed that you assassinated Wenceslaus.
Huh?
Killed him.
Who said so?
That, for the moment, is irrelevant. Did you or did you not kill the monkey?
Well, you think I'm nuts or something? When that chimp's the only one who knows where to stone...
Shut up!
Huh?
You blithering idiot. I should send you back to driving a truck. In the name of the American truck driver, I resent that.
I beg your pardon.
The American truck driver is courteous, considerate, and always helpful to the motorist in time of trouble. Would Max be?
Don't pay no attention to him, Mr. Haig. I did knock off that chimp.
Lola?
Of course he did. Simon and I were both there when he did it.
The room was dark at the time, Lola.
But
Max may have shot the monkey by mistake. Or he may not have shot the monkey at all.
Then who did?
There were only three people in the room. You, Max, and myself.
But you wouldn't have shot the monkey, Simon, except by accident.
Well, that's out. I didn't fire a gun at all.
No, me neither. When the lights went out, I went away fast.
Well, this is beginning to look like a job on me.
On the other hand, Lola, you did go after the monkey, alone. You tried to get him from Mr. Templer, alone. Is it possible you wanted the monkey dead because he'd already shown you a... Mr. Templer, you're not one of us.
Well, I haven't been blackballed yet.
You may consider yourself blackballed and leave.
I don't think so.
Max?
No, Max. I still have the gun, the one I didn't fire back at my apartment, remember?
Mr. Haig.
Exactly what is your interest, Templer?
The stones.
What?
The ones Max mentioned a few minutes ago. I might want to play on your team.
Need you be so wholesome about it?
There were three people involved. You, Lola, Max. Obviously, either Lola or Max have disqualified themselves. I'll take his or her share.
But, my dear fellow, if Lola has anticipated us, there'll be nothing to share.
But if she hasn't?
Well, there's still no reason to include you. Because, you see, the monkey is dead.
Preble also is dead.
A remark of the utmost irrelevance.
Not precisely. You see, Preble had to die because he was an honest man.
Preble was an idiot.
Max, how did you know Preble was dead?
I heard it on a radio.
And you, Mr. Hay?
The same source.
What did the bulletin say?
Nothing beyond the fact that Feeble was shot to death.
I see. Let's go back a bit. You must have hired the monkey from Preble, but of course you'd have told him it was for a joke. Preble believed you at first, but when he stopped believing you, when he realized what you'd used the monkey for, you had to kill him.
When he realized what, Mr. Templer?
Max has mentioned stones, in English, jewels. Obviously, all three of you are thieves, jewel thieves, then. But obsessed with a monkey, why?
We're fond of monkeys.
That's a pretty sentiment, but untrue. You must have used the monkey to get at jewels that were inaccessible to any human being. But something went wrong.
Hey, Mr. Hayes.
Shut up. What went wrong, Mr. Templer?
The monkey got the jewels, but he must have evaded you and disposed of them someplace. But where? That's your problem, isn't it? What the monkey did with the jewels. But the monkey is dead now. He'll never show you.
Mr. Hake, he's too smart.
Perhaps. Your suggestion, Lola, is...
I think we ought to get rid of him.
Oh, Lola, you've wounded me to the quick.
Aren't you forgetting, my dear, that he has a gun which he's pointing at us?
That's my gun. It's not loaded.
You could be lying, Lola.
I don't want to find out the hard way.
All right, Simon. Shoot me.
Oh, no thanks. I never shoot beautiful women.
An interesting dilemma.
Go ahead, Mr. Templer. Be a sport. Shoot, Lola.
No, I have a better idea. Let's find the jewels.
How?
Well, we'll borrow a monkey from a pet shop. We'll put that monkey in the same circumstances Wenceslaus was in, and maybe he'll do the same thing.
An idea, yes.
I don't trust him.
You don't? Then that perhaps is a very good reason for accepting his suggestion. Mr. Templer, shall we go borrow a monkey?
But Wenceslaus was prettier.
This one looks moth-eaten.
Oh, I don't imagine that matters. Does it, Lola?
I don't care.
What do you think, Max?
To me, a monkey's a monkey.
Max the realist. Well, shall we try Lola's place first?
A splendid idea. Might save us a good deal of time.
Mr. Hake, don't you think...
I think nothing. I know a few things. One, we used the monkey to break into a... to pick up a few jewels for us. He did so and then disappeared for a while. He could have been at your place, Lola, or at Max's. When we finally located the monkey, the jewels were gone.
And perhaps our little substitute will find them, which will be very nice for the, survivors.
Well, he's been all over my apartment, made a mess of it, and...
Found nothing. Nor did we. Temple, I'm afraid...
That Lola's innocent? Perhaps. Suppose we try Max's happy little home next.
Hey, that monkey just knocked over my last bottle of real lemon juice.
Lemon juice? Are you fond of vitamins, Max?
Nah, I keep it in memoriam of a girl I used to know who raised lemons. Only on me, all she ever raised was lumps.
Well, there's not a corner, nook, or cranny of this place that hasn't been investigated. Templer.
I know, but we're not at the end of our search yet.
But where do we go next?
Mr. Hake mentioned your place and Max's, Lola. He forgot to mention his own house. Or did he forget?
That, and I hope no one is bitterly disappointed, is that. No jewels in my home either.
You're quite right, no jewels.
Well, that means none of us took them. It also means...
that unless Wenceslaus turns into a ghost and returns to haunt us, we don't ever find no stone.
At which unhappy point, I suggest we call it a day. Night, rather. May I ask for your absence, all of you?
Hey, wait a minute there. I still want to know where them stones are. I put a lot of hard work in on that job.
Be still, you idiot.
He's right, Mr. Hake.
Of course he's right. You're right. I'm right. It's the blasted monkey who's wrong.
Oh, we mustn't speak ill of the dead. The blasted monkey is dead. So, by the way, is Preble. Incidentally, why was he killed? Merely because he suspected his monkey had been used illegally? That doesn't convince.
But that was what you yourself said.
I was making conversation at the time. I needed an opportunity to check. Searching all three houses for the jewels. Now that's over. It checks.
What are you getting at?
The reason the monkey had to be killed.
You are nuts.
Max, you're actually showing signs of intelligence. Templer, we wanted that monkey alive.
Sure, the monkey was the only one who knew where the jewels were.
Ah, but you see, that proves whoever killed Preble and the monkey had already found the jewels.
Keep talking.
Preble was killed, but his killer made no attempt to grab the monkey. Strange? No, because it proves the killer had no use for the monkey. He already had the jewels, or she. That is, and pardon me for pointing, one of you already has the jewels and is trying to keep them all.
I wouldn't like anybody trying that.
Why are you looking at me, Simon?
Be still, both of you. Mr. Templar, you interest me. Not at all, strangely. Pray continue.
I'd rather continue with this gun in my hand. Now then, Lola, how did you find your way to my apartment earlier this evening?
I've been following Preble. He was shot. I saw you leave with the monkey, so I followed you.
And you, Max?
I was following her.
Can either of you alibi the other?
I didn't even know he was following me.
Hey, now that you bring it up, she ditched me for a while.
Well, let's skip to my apartment. Who shot the monkey? Lola?
That I like.
I don't, because she had no gun. I had her gun, remember?
But I didn't fire no shots, huh, this time?
Max, I'm beginning to wonder about you.
Hey, I got my
don't
gun
lift
now.
It.
You got Lola's. It ain't loaded.
Don't bet on it. Lola is quite a liar, Max.
Oh!
It's just a flesh wound, Max. I've been practicing. I'll take your gun. Well, two-gun Templar.
On your way out, Templar, take the big oaf with you and throw him to the police, will you? I'd prefer they didn't have to come here to pick him up, considering my, profession.
Yes, not to mention considering your, guilt.
I beg your pardon.
Mr. Haig, how did you know Preble and his monkey had gone to visit a movie star, specifically Roland Ames?
Well, I didn't,
You mean you did? Remember you asked Lola if she had gotten Roland Ames' autograph? How did you know that the monkey was at the Ames place?
Well, I heard it over the radio.
But according to your own statement, all the radio bulletin said was that Preble had been shot to death. No reply, huh? You knew because you wanted to silence Preble, and you did. You didn't bother about the monkey because you already had the jewels. But when you saw me leave with Wenceslas, you began to worry. In police hands, the monkey would have been safe for you. But in mine, with Lola and Max both after me, that monkey represented danger to you. So you came after it, shot the monkey, and... Mr. Haig, I hate to point, but you have a date with a death cell. And that, Raleigh, is the story of how I foiled Mr. Haig, jewel thief and murderer.
I'm insulted. I was never even a suspect. Simon, what happened to Max?
Jail, too. An old burglary charge took a new lease on life when the police saw him.
Sad. And the girl?
Lola? Raleigh, you know something?
What?
Lola is also a small blonde with big eyes, like Marie.
But Simon, she's a crook.
Oh, not really. Her heart's in the right place. Left side. I mean, she was just young and foolish. We've all made our mistakes, right?
Especially with small blondes. Hello? Yeah, he's here. Simon for you.
Oh, thanks. Hello, Lola? Why, yes, of course. 10 minutes? Right. Goodbye.
Simon, you're going out with her?
I am.
She the type of girl who would be persona grata at the YWCA?
Oh, I won't take her to the YWCA.
Is she the type of girl your mother would have loved?
Well, my mother isn't taking her out, Raleigh. I am.
Simon, you're treading on a very dangerous path. I refer to the one surrounded by primroses. Like Marie, huh?
Yeah. Don't say another word. I'll call her back and... ask if she's got a friend for you.
You've been listening to another transcribed adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, as responsible parents, you never think of allowing your children to play with poison. And as responsible Americans, it's your duty to protect them from the dangers of the poison we call prejudice. Here in America, racial and religious hatred does exist, sustained by the political adventurers and plain crackpots who are willing to scrap the democratic way of life to attain their own ends. prejudice in America is centered in their addled philosophy. But unless we guard ourselves and our families, it can find its way into our own lives. Then the poison would do its work, undermining America's unity, sabotaging our prestige abroad, and wrecking our ideal of individual freedom. In your family life, you can effectively carry on a campaign against prejudice. Our youngsters grow up with a pride in their country. Teach them that part of that pride is our tradition of accepting or rejecting people on their individual worth, not on the basis of race or religion or color. Remember, freedom and prejudice can't exist side by side. If you choose freedom, fight prejudice. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for another exciting adventure of the Saint. Good night.
Of the Saint was written by Louis Vittes. In our cast, you heard Maggie Morley as Lola and George Neese as Roland Ames. Max was played by Sheldon Leonard and Hake by Theodore Von Els. Jack Miles was Preble, Jerry Hausner, the Monkey. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Safier production and is directed by Helen Mack. Vincent Price is soon to be seen co-starring in RKO's production of His Kind of Woman. All you Saint fans will be glad to know that the Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. Your announcer, Don Stanley. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Tonight, Tallulah is your MC once again on NBC's hour-and-a-half Sunday extravaganza, The Big Show. Tonight's stars will be Jimmy Durante, Clifton Webb, Charles Boyer, Eddie Arnold, Meredith Wilson, and a host of others. Another Sunday evening favorite, Theater Guild on the Air, presents the dramatic story, Lottie Dundas, starring Dorothy McGuire and Jessica Tandy. So remember, enjoy The Big Show with Jimmy Durante and Imogene Coca later today on NBC.
Ladies and gentlemen, that phone bell means adventure. Hello? Hello? The young man answering the phone is Archie Goodwin. And the mountain of a man engaged in deep thought in the oversized armchair is Nero Wolfe.
What was that? Somebody's going to be murdered who has no manners? Well, what do you want Nero Wolfe to do? Teach him manners? Oh. Hold on. Mr. Wolfe.
Yes, Archie?
We've got a prospective client. In case someone she knows gets murdered, she'd like you to do something about it.
Very well. However, advise her.
Yes?
Not to get murdered herself. I never take a corpse for a client.
Greatest detective in the world.
Yes, Archie is so right. He is the greatest detective in the world, and the fattest, and the least energetic. He's Nero Wolfe, created by Rex Stout, and brought to you over this NBC network in a new series of adventures by Mr. Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight, it's the case of the impolite corpse. It began on a certain night at 8:40. When Walter Channing, an advertising executive, was dictating in his office to his charming secretary, Brenda Barclay.
Brenda, take a memo.
Yes, Mr. Channing.
This is to be mimeographed and sent to the entire staff.
The entire staff, yes, sir.
Notice, effective at once, 1 hour lunch periods will be strictly enforced. Employees will post time of departure and time of return. Yes, what is it?
Mr. Channing...
Bennett, I'm busy.
I've got to see you, Mr. Channing. About this afternoon.
This afternoon was unfortunate, Bennett, but it happened.
I lost my temper. I'm sorry.
So am I.
Mr. Channing, I've been with the firm 14 years, and I... Well, because a man blows up once in 14
years... Mr. Channing's office.
Oh, you've got to reconsider. That's all, Mr. Channing.
I never reconsider, Bennett.
It's your wife.
But Mr. Channing...
That will be all, Bennett.
It won't be all. You can't wipe out 14 years of a man's life. Even you can't do that, Channing.
It's Mrs. Channing on the phone.
Oh. Hello? You're where? That's in this building. Since when has Dr. Ellis kept evening office hours? I told you there's nothing wrong with you. No, I can't. I don't know when I'll be through. And I don't want you hanging around up here. Well, take a cab or walk. I don't care what you do. What? I can't understand you. What? Goodbye, Doris. Where was I?
Walter.
Yes?
You are going to reconsider about Tom Bennett, aren't you?
Bennett was insolent this afternoon. I won't tolerate insolence. Yes?
Shine, Mr. Channing?
Shine? No! What's he doing down here this time of night?
Half the staff's working overtime. Kelly's an enterprising shoeshine boy. Might have missed someone on his rounds this afternoon. Walter, about Tom Bennett.
Forget Bennett! Oh,
look, you upset the inkwell. Oh.
Quick, blot the stuff.
Yes, of course. Did any spill on you?
Spot on my trouser cuff. Lucky you didn't get on the carpet.
Walter, about Tom Bennett.
I told you to forget Bennett.
All right, Walter, all right.
Oh, maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you'd be better off to use him as a model.
A model?
If he knows he's not wanted around here, he'll have the self-respect to get out.
Meaning?
Well, you've known for a long time you're not wanted. And you're still here.
How you'd like to fire me.
Denying that would be silly.
I've been with this firm 15 years in January. Employees get a bonus of stock shares after 15 years' service. That's what I'm waiting for, and you know it.
Suppose we get back to that memorandum.
You'd like to get me out before I collect those shares, wouldn't you?
I said let's get on with the memo.
You'd be petty enough to do it, too, if you knew how.
There may be a way.
There isn't, and you know it. I'm too careful. You can't fire me without cause, and I've given you no cause, Walter. Nothing you can possibly dictate one of your vicious little memorandums about.
Don't try my patience too far, Brenda.
Walter, what? This can't be us talking like this, you and me hating each other.
I find it remarkable there ever was anything between us except hate.
Walter.
I mean it. Look at you. You were flashy when I met you. You're getting flashier. That means cheaper, Brenda.
Oh, stop it.
Too much lipstick? Too much rouge? Hair too bright? Dress too tight? You're trying too hard, Brenda. You're labeling yourself like a sound wagon.
I wonder what it is that stops me from killing you.
Cowardice, of course. Now, when you've stopped sniveling, we'll get on with a memorandum. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Notice. In the interest of economy and efficiency, junior executives will confer in the conference room, not in private offices. Mid-afternoon coffee and personal phone calls and daily shoe shines will be eliminated.
Your name is Barclay, Brenda Barclay. Very well, Miss Barclay, what can I do for you?
Mr. Wolf, I don't know how to begin.
Well, maybe I can make this easier all around by briefing Mr. Wolf on the Walter Channing case. Hey, that's funny.
What?
Violet eyes. I always thought there was something the poets made up.
Archie.
Huh? Oh, the Channing case, yes.
One moment, Miss Barclay, look this way, please. To me, an eye is a functional object found in mammals, birds, fish, potatoes, and horticulture. Thank you. Go on, Archie.
Walter Channing was the boy wonder of advertising. At 33, executive vice president of Winslow, Hart, and Stratemeyer. Just 24 hours ago, they found him at his desk, shot through the heart.
They? Who is they?
A night porter and a shoeshine boy, is that right?
Yes.
He'd been dead about an hour. The bullet went through Channing, his desk chair, and lodged in the windowsill behind him. Police thought at first it was suicide.
The gun?
.38, found it on the floor, 10 feet away. No fingerprints, anyhow, no clear ones.
Seldom are on a gun, but you say suicide was suspected. Why? The gun was 10 feet from the body.
It was the smudges.
Smudges?
Powder burns. According to the papers, he was sitting at his desk. There were no signs of a struggle. The gun was held against his chest and fired.
But it wasn't suicide, Mr. Wolf. Walter Channing would never have killed himself.
The police have already decided that, finally, according to the evening papers.
And I presume you, Miss Barkley, are a suspect.
No, not yet.
But you expect to be. That's why you came to me.
When the police talked to her, I...
Her?
Doris, his wife. I've been Walter Channing's secretary for 8 years. At one time, we thought we were in love.
Mrs. Channing was aware of this?
Yes. Oh, it was a long time ago. It was over. It was finished a long time ago, but she never believed that. Neither did Alan.
Alan who?
Alan Melick, head of the media department at the agency. We were going to be married when Walter and I... Well,
decided you were in love. Miss Barkley, who finally decided you were not? You or Mr. Channing?
He did.
I see. Mr. Melick believes you did not share this change of heart.
Yes. Oh, he's such a fool.
I dare say you fear Mrs. Channing or Mr. Melick or both will reveal this ill-fated romance.
You know what the papers will make of it, what the police will try to make of it.
Miss Barkley, did you kill Channing?
No. Oh, no, I swear I didn't. Oh, Mr. Wolf, I didn't.
Please, for heaven's sake, no tears. Archie, put her in a cab.
Yes, sir.
Then come up to the plant room. There are some things I want you to execute for me.
Yes, sir.
Women, bah.
Yes, Mr. Goodwin, I'm Abe Jackson, a night porter. He was working late that night. Mr. Channing, his secretary, Mr. Bennett, Mr. Melick, and his secretary. About 10:30, I met the shoeshine, Kelly, on Mr. Channing's floor. There was a light burning in Channing's place. We went in to turn it off, Kelly and me, and there he was, sitting at his desk, a hole as big in his chest.
Tell me, Mr. Bennett, did Channing have any enemies in the agency?
Channing was a slave driver, Mr. Goodwin. The girls hated him, and men were afraid of him. He'd send out memos like this one around. Yeah, take a look at it. It's typical. No coffee, no shoeshines, no office conferences. If you want my opinion as one employee out of 150, whoever killed Walter Channing did the rest of us a favor.
You're Amy Long, secretary to Alan Melick. Now, what can you
tell... I can tell you plenty. How she jilted Mr. Melick, took up with Mr. Channing, got thrown over by him. I wouldn't go so far as to say Brenda Barkley would murder anyone. But if she did, Walter Channing would be 1A.
Channing get his shoes shined on you?
They called the agency men, sir. You know, it was Jackson and me found him. Everyone else had gone and left himself, poor soul, sitting at his desk, dead.
This specimen, a monomous train orchid. Beautiful, isn't it, Mrs. Channing? Mr. Melick?
I could never quite like orchids. They have no smell, you know.
It's pretty all right, but tulips are more in my line, Mr. Wolfe.
Tulips, Mr. Melee?
I had the stand of emperors this spring.
Emperors, come in, Archie. Emperors, Mr. Melee?
That's the name of a tulip, Mr. Wolfe.
A peasant flower, I've heard of it, of course. Archie, Mrs. Channing, Mr. Melick, my assistant, Mr. Goodwin.
Mr. Goodwin?
I didn't know you had company.
Mr. Wolfe asked us here to explain why Brenda Barkley is worried.
And you have both agreed to respect her position.
Brenda ought to know I'd never tell the police anything to get her into trouble.
Fooey.
Sir, he said fooey, Mr. Melick, meaning he doubts what you say and does not admit your right to say it.
Archie, Mr. Melick, you say you would never intentionally inform on Miss Barkley.
Certainly not.
The tongue slips, sir. We would expect you to guard yours.
What? Do you think
what
that...
What I started to say. You asked us here because Brenda Barkley is your client. I despise Miss Barkley. Everyone knows that and why. But I wouldn't stoop to implicating her in murder.
You believe her innocent then, Mrs. Channing?
I believe she lacks the gumption to pull a trigger. Poison, I wouldn't put past her at all. Mr. Melick, would you be kind enough to see me home?
Of course, Mrs. Channing. Good day, Mr. Wolfe.
Good day.
And Mr. Goodwin.
You have, I suppose, an exhaustive report from me, Archie.
7 pages of notes.
Save them and get me a bottle of beer.
You're in a rosy mood. What happened?
I said I would like a bottle of beer.
No, you wouldn't.
Archie, you better...
Don't puff up about it. Those vest buttons won't stand the strain. I can't get you a bottle of beer.
Why not?
You ordered me to hold you to 4 a day.
I rescind the order.
You also ordered me not to let you rescind the order. What's the matter with you, anyhow?
I have had to entertain 2 very dull people too long.
Both those dull people are prime suspects. Mrs. Channing is a woman scorned. Melick lost his girl to the guy who was killed.
I can't blame her for throwing him over. Archie, the man grows tulips.
What?
Tulips. Well, give me a report.
I checked the agency, everybody who was working down there the night of the murder. Also, I dropped in on Inspector Kramer at homicide. Also, I visited the morgue.
Why the morgue?
Because if I hadn't, you'd have said, why not the morgue?
Go on.
I drew a blank there. Kramer let me look at the clothes Channing was wearing. There was an ink stain on the left trouser cuff.
An ink stain?
And a hole through his shirt front with plenty of powder smudge, like the paper said. He was shot with a .38 at point-blank range, sitting down.
An impolite corpse.
What?
Discourteous. He didn't rise to meet his murderer. That is most significant, Archie.
I know. I've got a theory about this case.
No theories. Facts, if you please.
But look, Channing owned a .38. That's a fact. It's disappeared. That's another fact. The murder gun was a .38 with the numbers filed off, and it could be Channing's own gun.
Thereby proving what, Archie?
That his wife had access to it.
Your theory involves Mrs. Channing, then.
And Malik. She decides her husband is less trouble to her, dead than alive.
A regrettable tendency of wives, have you noticed?
And she sells Malik on the idea. Now, that wouldn't be hard. They figure to make it look like suicide, but Malik loses his head and runs, drops the gun on his way out, and... Oh, you don't buy it.
Enough of theories. The facts, Archie. Out of your notebook.
One. Nine people were on the scene that night, working late for one reason or another.
Mrs. Channing tells me she was visiting a doctor's office in the same building, by the way.
Two, every one of those people hated Channing. Three, here's a sample of why he wasn't popular. A
memorandum.
Dictated the night he was killed. The staff got it the next morning.
A whipcracker, Mr. Channing.
Fact four, the ink stain on his trouser cuff was partly rubbed out.
With what?
Cleaner of some kind. I didn't get the brand. Fact five, there's a spot on the carpet near Channing's chair.
Spot of what? Ink? Blood?
Looks like ink.
It looks like ink.
Well, I didn't analyze it on the spur of the moment. My chemical set isn't working so good, boss.
And... Pooey. Archie, I want two things.
Yes, sir?
Get over to headquarters. The police have Channing's trousers. Suggest to Inspector Kramer that he have the stain analyzed. Suggest also that the spot on the carpet be analyzed at the same time. Be around him when the information arrives.
This is Be Kind to the Police Week?
Phooey. I never have sought to beat the police on matters of fact, only on interpretation, deduction. Get going. Oh, and Archie.
Yes?
When you return, I should discourse upon the sanctity of deskhood.
The sanctity of what hood?
Deskhood. Now be off with you, and please remember you're tracking a murderer. Don't stub your toe.
Goodwin, the thing on the carpet was a dye of some kind.
Dye, huh?
Mm-hmm.
How long will it take the lab to give you the analysis on it, Inspector?
Oh, not very long. I've got the report on what was used on the trouser cuff right now, though.
And?
They found traces of carbon tetrachloride.
Wait a minute, this goes in the notebook. Okay, carbon tetrachloride.
And something else. Goodwin, what's Wolf after?
Interpretations was what he said, Inspector. You object?
No. Maybe I'll get an interpretation, too. The something else was perchloroethylene.
Why, Inspector, such language.
Mr. Goodwin has been to your office. Everything I need to know,
You've got to come, Mr. Wolf.
Nonsense. I don't go out. My digestion disapproves of it. I disapprove of it.
But, Mr. Goodwin, he's in danger.
What's that?
Terrible danger. He needs you here at once.
Archie, danger? Let me talk to him.
Please, come. Hurry.
What's happened? Hello. Sparkly. Fritz, get out of the car. Bring me my wool muffler and worsted vest. See if you can find my galoshes. Confound it, I've got to go out.
Going up. Step to the rear of the car, please. Mister, will you please step back?
I'm back as far as I can go.
You are.
Elevators. Contraptions for little men. Come, come, take me up, young man.
Hold it. Hold that car. I'm late for a date with a blonde. 16th floor, buddy.
Evening, Mr. Goodman.
Good evening.
I was told you were in danger.
Danger? Mr. Wolf! You were... What are you doing out down here?
Sparks' idea.
About me being in danger?
Obviously, she was lying. I suspected at the time. But I fell in with a suggestion. I'm anxious to end the case. My presence here is needed.
Don't understand why she'd do such a thing. And why is your presence needed?
16th floor.
It's a matter of, perspective.
Brenda's got a very nice perspective. She'll be around here someplace. The agency's got this whole floor.
Her office?
Down this corridor, next to Channing's. Well, Kramer came through on those reports from the lab. That smudge on the carpet wasn't ink. It was a dye. Powdered aniline. Brenda!
Oh, Mr. Wolf, thank heavens you're here.
Hey, I'm here, too.
The police, they questioned me again this afternoon. I'm so frightened, Mr. Wolf. You've got to find the murderer before they...
Baby, take it easy.
Well, hello, Archie.
Hello. What's the idea of trying to pull a fast one, Mr. Wolf?
Well, I just had to see him. Please understand.
Is this Channing's office?
Yes.
You told him I was in danger.
Last, a place to sit down.
Well, I had to tell him something to get him down here.
He's not happy. You comfortable there, sir?
Miss Barkley, come here.
Mr. Wolf, I can explain. I thought if you were here where it happened, I mean, if you could see for yourself, then you'd...
Young woman, there are many things I'd like to say to you.
Oh, now, wait a minute. She was scared, boss.
However, I am too short of breath to do them justice. Archie.
Yes?
Round up everyone concerned with this case.
Right now?
Including Mrs. Channing. Get them in here.
Yes, sir.
You help him, Miss Barkley, and close that window.
Yes, Mr. Wolf.
Fresh air. I've had enough today, thanks to you, to last me a lifetime. If after all that exposure, I live a lifetime.
What's going on here, anyhow?
A tea party. Find yourself seats. Keep your knees steady. All right, Mr. Wolf, everybody's here.
Mr. Shoeshine Kelly?
Here, sir, here.
It was you who found the body.
Him and me, Mr. Wolf. I'm Abe Jackson, a nightman.
You gentlemen can help us if you will.
Oh, to be sure, Mr. Wolf.
I'd like to know the exact position of the body when you found it.
Well, he was sitting up.
That's it, sir. Sitting up straight as you please.
You'll oblige me if you'll demonstrate. Sit in the chair, please.
His chair, sir?
If you please.
Abe, you.
Yeah. Oh, no, not me. Not on your life.
There's no easy thing you ask, Mr. Wolf. I'll oblige you. It was like this, I'd say.
You agree, Mr. Jackson?
A little more to the right, maybe. Yeah, that's the way it was.
Archie.
Yes, sir?
Help me with a brief recapitulation.
Well, so far as we know, Channing made no outcry.
Therefore, he could not have been startled by the appearance of the killer.
There were powder burns on the body.
Therefore, the gun was against Channing when it was fired. His own hand couldn't have held it closer.
Nobody heard the shot, probably because this officer soundproofed. The gun that killed him was lying on the floor 10 feet from the desk.
In the direction of flight through that door. Go on, Archie.
The killer was almost certainly well known to Channing, or Channing wouldn't have let him come that close without a struggle or an alarm. Also, the killer had access to this office. Another proof that he's not a stranger.
One more point, if I may, Archie. The killer, he or she, is present here now.
Quiet, everyone.
We come now to the point I mentioned to you last night, Archie. The point I call the sanctity of deskhood.
Sanctity of what?
Deskhood, Mrs. Channing. Explain, Archie.
Still figure it so important?
Absolutely essential.
Well, I wrote it here somewhere. Oh. Deskhood refers to that area behind a desk where a man earns his livelihood makes his career, builds his reputation.
You mean here, where I'm sitting?
So long as a man sits at his desk, he enjoys a curious area of privacy. He is remarkably safe from intrusion. That's it, Mr. Wolfe.
Sanctity of desk, Curtin. Think about it a moment. You'll see what I mean.
Nonsense. I've gone around that desk hundreds of times. I'm sure she has many more hundreds.
If you mean what I think you mean, Mrs. Channing, you...
Please, ladies. Mrs. Channing, when you approached your husband at his desk, what did he do?
What did he... Why, he stood up and...
He stood up. Sparkly, you agree?
Well, yes, he'd have to stand up. At least he always did.
But for his murderer, he did not. Archie, resume from your notes, please.
Well, whoever killed Walter Channing went around the desk without Channing rising, held a gun to his chest, and pulled the trigger.
Excuse me. If you will go behind the desk and stand facing Mr. Kelly, Archie.
Here. This the way you mean?
You know the angle of the body wound or the hole in the chair?
There wasn't any angle. One was in a straight line with the other.
From where you stand now in front of Mr. Kelly, if you wish to inflict an identical wound upon him, could you do it?
Not from where I stand. I'd have to kneel.
You'd have to kneel. Do so. Note, please, the murder tableau.
What do you mean?
Question now, who could kneel before Channing, get close enough to kill him from that position without alarming him in the least?
Kelly.
The shoeshine man.
Hey, wait a minute now.
Shut up, you, and sit there.
His motive is crystal clear.
The memorandum.
Memorandum. You have a copy, Archie?
In my notebook.
Ah, yes. Miss Barclay, read the part which could explain Mr. Kelly's action.
The memo was all over the office. Kelly must have seen it.
Oh, wait a minute now. Notice effective at once. Yes, here it is. In the interest of economy, daily shoe shines will be eliminated.
That'd cut off Kelly's bread and butter.
Kelly, I can't believe it.
Nor can I.
What?
It's obvious Kelly murdered Walter Channing.
Mr. Wolfe, now listen, I did nothing to say.
But the obvious can be too obvious.
Meaning what exactly?
Archie?
Yes, sir?
Brief these people on the ink-stained trousers.
Channing spilled ink on his trouser cuff the night he was murdered. Somebody tried to clean the spot off.
With what?
According to the police analysis, carbon tetrachloride and perchloroethylene showed up.
Both non-inflammable ingredients used in many commercial cleaners.
Exactly what are you getting at, Mr. Wolfe?
One moment, Mrs. Channing. Mr. Goodwin also has an analysis of the spot on the carpet behind the desk. Archie?
A powder form of dye, aniline dye.
Used in what, perhaps?
Well, the lab suggested a shoe dressing.
I got no powder dye. I swear I ate, Mr. Wolfe.
I'm sure you haven't, Mr. Kelly. You'll find this particular type of dressing is used on women's shoes, suede shoes, usually.
I don't understand.
Wait a minute.
Yes, Archie?
If a woman... Suppose a woman knelt in front of Channing to clean that ink spot off his trouser cuff. That smudge could have rubbed off the tip of her shoe onto the carpet.
Exactly. I believe you'll find a typewriter cleaner contains tetrachloride and perchloroethylene.
Something else just occurred to me. That memo was sent around the morning after Channing was killed.
I never thought of that.
True, Archie. And for only one purpose, to point suspicion at Kelly.
But when the police didn't take the hint...
Go on, Archie. What then?
Somebody else was brought down here who would. Comes around to three questions, doesn't it? Who knew about the memo? Who had access to Channing's file where he kept his gun? And who made sure Nero Wolfe would see the evidence against Kelly?
Three questions, Archie, with one answer that spells the name of the murderess. Our own client, Brenda Barkey. Steak, Archie, marinated. Did you like it?
I'm not hungry.
Indeed, I suggest a tonic.
That reminds me. I had a call.
You had?
Doris Channing. She had some idea about my explaining things to her.
She found my explanation insufficient?
No, but she felt it lacked the personal touch.
Phooey. Hand me a can of beer. However, you do have the evening off.
Yes, sir.
Keep out of trouble. Doris Channing is a blonde. That is trying to keep out of trouble.
In the company of a blonde who wants to. Good night, sir.
Good night, Archie. Good night.
Ah.
have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story by William Kendall Clark was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edmund Fadiman program produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Larry Dobkin as Archie Goodwin, and Donald Morrison, Betty Lou Gerson, Bill Johnstone, Howard McNear, Mary Lansing, and Barney Phillips. Next week, at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you the case of The Girl Who Cried Wolf. John Storm speaking. Nero Wolfe, Archie, and all of our cast hope that our listeners have taken time out from this busy Christmas season to help brighten some youngster's Christmas day. Be sure to send a thing, your choice of anything you think a child would like for Christmas, to the groups in your own town who are distributing these toy gifts to less fortunate children. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
And on the beach, you'll see the girls in their bikinis. As cute as ever, but they never get them wet.
The scene has been...
You knew the job was dangerous when you took it.
Radio production.